This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. American musical theater had come a long way by 1956, from the frothy operettas of the 1890s with their roots in Vienna, through the all-singing, all-dancing showcases of the 1930s and 40s, to the groundbreaking work of Rodgers and Hart, Rodgers and Hammerstein, and Lerner and Lowe, integrating song and story in the 40s and 50s. It had come so far that when three of America's brightest artistic talents decided to collaborate on a musical version of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, they didn't know what to call it. Not just what to title it, but what to call what they were writing. Was it an operetta, a tragic musical comedy, an American musical? Whatever it was destined to become a landmark, crossing and uniting artistic genres, immortalizing music and lyrics, and changing the course of musical theater in America. As early as 1949, composer Leonard Bernstein, choreographer Jerome Robbins, and librettist Arthur Lorentz had discussed creating a musical update of Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, set in the tense and teeming social melting pot of modern New York City. An early version, with the tentative title East Side Story, was going to focus on a love affair between a Jewish girl and a Catholic boy on the Lower East Side, doomed by religious differences and gang rivalries. The idea simmered on the back burner until 1955, when Lorentz and Bernstein ran into each other at the Beverly Hills Hotel and started chewing through the idea again by the swimming pool. But, according to Lorentz, we realized the religious issue had become extraneous. Juvenile delinquency had become the problem, end quote. They decided that the action would center on a ghetto on New York's Upper West Side, where a Polish-American boy falls in love with a Puerto Rican girl, and the title became West Side Story. With a fully fleshed-out concept, though, there were still obstacles. Bernstein was trying to finish his operatic musical comedy Candide while dealing with his new duties as joint principal conductor of the New York Philharmonic, which included 21 subscription concerts in December 1956 and January 1957 alone. He had also just signed an exclusive recording contract with Columbia, with 5 LPs scheduled for release that fall. His lectures on the Omnibus television show were growing more popular. He took over the Philharmonic's Young People's Concerts and their scheduled broadcasts, and he was committed to conduct concerts in South America and Israel later that year. Meanwhile, producers were running away from West Side Story as fast as they could, in fear that the tragic storyline would be box office poison. Bernstein, Lorentz, and Robbins asked Broadway legends Betty Comden and Adolph Green about writing the lyrics, but they were tied up with a movie project. So Bernstein tried writing lyrics himself, but without a lot of success. Lorentz had heard some songs by a young composer-lyricist named Stephen Sondheim, and he had especially liked the lyrics. They brought Sondheim in for an audition at Bernstein's apartment, but he left feeling lukewarm about getting involved, so he discussed his misgivings with his mentor, Oscar Hammerstein II. Sondheim later wrote that it was he who persuaded me that if I was offered the job, I should leap at it. The show has an interesting idea, he said, and here was a chance to work with three of the most gifted and experienced men in music and theater. When Lenny phoned a week later and invited me to join the crew, I duly leapt. End quote. One of the results of the way Bernstein's compositional process worked was that the two shows he was working on ended up fertilizing each other. On the face of it, Candide and West Side Story would seem to be complete opposites. Bernstein described Candide as a Valentine to European music, and he filled his score with allusions to the waltz, the gavotte, bel canto opera, Gilbert and Sullivan, and Gounod's Faust. West Side Story, though, was born out of urban grit and full of highly spiced and syncopated Latin influences. But music ended up flowing in both directions. The duet Oh Happy We in Candide started life as a duet in West Side Story, while West Side Story's One Hand, One Heart and G. Officer Krupke began in Candide before finding their proper places. As Lorenz said, he didn't think. The music just poured out of him. He somehow knew how to take the vernacular and raise it up, make music instead of a pastiche. He had that rare quality of being able to feel each character. He was a musical dramatist. End quote. Acting, singing, and dancing all play integral roles in West Side Story, probably more so than in any other piece of American music theater. The dance scenes range from Tony and Maria's delicate meeting to the darker and more sinister Mambo and Rumble, and they carry the action in a way that was almost unprecedented, although Bernstein himself mentioned influences like On Your Toes by Rodgers and Hart with its famous Slaughter on 10th Avenue ballet, and the Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals, Oklahoma and Carousel, all of which included dance scenes that were essential to the narrative. West Side Story began its tryout run in Washington, D.C. in August 1957, then moved to Philadelphia. Bernstein knew even then what audiences could sense. It was something special. He wrote to his good friend, composer David Diamond, "It really does the heart good because this show is my baby, my tragic musical comedy, whatever it is, and if it goes in New York as well as it has on the road, we will have proved something very big indeed and maybe changed the face of American musical theater." End quote. Bernstein was right. The show opened on Broadway in September and ran for 2 years before going on the road and then returning for another year. It was nominated for 6 Tony Awards, but won only 2, Best Choreography and Best Scenic Design. The Best Musical winner that year was Meredith Willson's The Music Man, a show that looked more to Broadway's past than its future. It was the film version, though, that truly cemented West Side Story in America's consciousness. It was released in 1961 and won 10 of the 11 Academy Awards for which it was nominated, which is still a record for a musical film. And it had that air of authenticity. Many of the exterior shots were filmed in the gritty neighborhoods of New York's West 60s, including, ironically, the blocks now occupied by Lincoln Center for the Performing Arts. Walter Kerr's review in the Herald Tribune opened, "The radioactive fallout from West Side Story must still be descending on Broadway this morning." And one might argue that that is still the case more than half a century later. West Side Story stands as an essential, influential chapter in the history of not just American musical theater, but really American theater of any sort. It's ripped from the headlines update of Shakespeare's Tale of Young Love, set against a background of spectacularly choreographed gang warfare, has found a place at the core of Americans' common culture. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.